Press this?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Are they on?
Mm-hmm.
They're good. We're in the Parshas of Avraham Avinu. We already started last week. So there's no better time than to talk about the first Ma'amin. The first public Ma'amin. Adam also spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Noach spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in a certain sense, Avraham Avinu was the first Ma'amin. And that publicized, as we will see. And that's the last point, actually, that we made last week when we had the first part of our discussion. You can't forget the last punchline that we spoke about, the great Blondini. But we spoke about the various topics, just to remember what we discussed. We discussed how Emunah is somewhat obvious if one looks around, but we're blinded by the Koach of Amalek, which brings Suffolk into the world and tries to cover up what we already know. And then we went into, so what's the relationship between knowing and seeing and believing? We translate that as two words, Leida and Lahamin. The Rambam uses both Lashonos in different places. To know something is to see it and I know it. Believe kind of sounds like I don't see it, I just believe it. So we gave three different ideas towards the end of the last year how to, you know, put together the Leida and the Lahamin. We've quoted from Reb Chaim, number one, that Emunah starts where Yedia ends. There's a certain amount of Yedia which we can have and logic and understanding and seeing God, but there'll come a point that is beyond us. There'll come a point where even Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, wasn't able to understand and to fully identify with, and that's where Emunah comes in. So Yedia goes into Emunah. That was Reb Chaim, number one. Number two, we said, we quoted from the Nesiv HaShalom, that maybe it should be Emunah, but we should try to make it with clarity as much as we can, as if it's Yedia. Now, because some things we don't always fully know, but the more we could deepen our connection, we quoted from the Mashal of Nasev and Ishma versus Kavala Makagigas. It was Bechira, but it was Kielu was for. So we should be able to reach the level of Yedia, even if it really is Emunah. And the last point we made, the third idea, was that maybe Yedia is just in the mind. But Emunah means it's Lamaisa, and we need to participate. And that's what we mentioned from Rabbi Aminu Bashem and Moshe Avdo. Why did Bnei Yisrael only start believing, or only reach a certain level of Emunah at Kriyas Yamsuf? Right, why not? You see, it's Mitzrayim. We say it every morning. Aminu Hashem Moshe Avdo by Kriyas Yamsuf. Why didn't that happen earlier? By the Makos, by Yitzias Mitzrayim. So I don't think I read it last time. I might have mentioned it quickly. But there's an amazing comment of the Arachayim HaKadosh. It's not on your sheet. But it's the Arachayim HaKadosh in Beshalach, where I might have mentioned it just there, Chagav. But the Arachayim says, gives a shot to the Pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu is davening. All Klai Yisrael are davening. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Matitzak Eli. What are you davening for? Dabra Bnei Yisrael V'Yiso. Tell him to go. Matitzak Eli. What are you davening for? Ask Yerachayim, what else does a Jew do? We daven. Now, when we don't know what to do, we daven. When we feel bitzaris, we daven. You know, when we feel that there's nothing else that we can do, we're hopeless, we daven. So ask the Yerachayim HaKadosh. Kasha, ma titzak elai, v'lamul mi yitzak, im lo l'Hashem alokav. Well, who else are we going to turn to? And what else are we going to do at an Eitz Tzara? Right? That's what we do. So what are they supposed to do? Says the Arachayim HaKadosh. Achen yisba'er ha'inyan. She Yisrael ha'yunusunim bedin. Ma'elu af elu. At that moment in time, again, it's not on your sheet. I'm just reading it outside. We're going to start with the, got the number that we're up to. I'll tell you in a second where we're going to start. If you want to write it down, I'll tell you in between what we're up to. We did 15, 16. After 16. That's what we're going to start with. We're going to start with the Sefer HaChinuch soon. But the you could fit in there, as if you could imagine the Arachayim HaKadosh. Says the Arachayim, Yisrael HaYinu Sunim Bedin, Ma'elu Af Elu. At that moment in time, at Kriyas Yamsuf, Kadosh Baruch Hu was cheshbening and trying to figure out whether Bnei Yisrael really deserved to be saved. Remember the Malachim was saying, Halo Lo Devo Dezara, and we were fighting with each other. V'davar Yadua, Ki Koach HaRachamim, Humasim tovim asher yasa adam lamata yosifu koach b'midas harachamim v'chulu. And he continues, and he says, "Ein adover tali biyadi." Hashem said to Moshe by saying, don't daven to me. And only the Rechaim can say this. It's not up to me. It's not up to me. Hagam shani chafitz asos nes. I want to do a miracle. Kivan she'enem ru'uyim midas hadin monas. But you might not deserve it. This midas hadin. I can't perform a miracle unless you deserve it. Ve'ein b'koach b'rachamim k'neged midas hadin monas. The tefillah is not going to help. So what is there to do? In certain dire, extreme situations, says the Arachayim, jump into the water. Act based on emunah. And that could reach certain heights in Shemayim that maybe even tefillah can't reach. When a Jew acts with emunah. Zo sa eitza yutza lahagber ksara chesed varachamim. Dabra al b'nei Yisrael. V'yiz'atzmu be'emunah b'cholibam. V'yisu alayam. Go into the Yam Kodem Sheyichalik before it splits. And through that, then we could partner. And that's Yediyah and Emunah. Yediyah is just knowing. Emunah is acting upon it. Jumping into the wheelbarrow. You believe? So jump in the wheelbarrow. Ki ani esel lebnesu b'em. So zeh tiskaba harachamim. And that's the third idea. When it comes to Yediyah and Emunah. There are two other parts of the shir that we didn't get to last week. Part one, what's included in emunah? Again, one of the six mitzvahs to midios, anochi Hashem Elokecha, the first mitzvah, what's included? Four parts. There's more, but we're going to focus, just mention four parts, which the Chinuch mentions in the next source in 17, and the Rambam, which we had earlier, which we didn't read, which we'll read now. Let's go back to the Rambam, because he's the one that says it most explicitly. Look back to the Rambam in source number 10. Beginning of Hilchos Yesod HaTorah. This is the beginning. This is the source. Says the Rambam. Yesod HaYesodos V'amun HaChachamos. Right, many Sfarim start off with Yudkei Vavkei. The Rambam, the Ramchal, Tzulos Yesharim. The Yesod of all Yesodos. The basis of everything. Leida Sheyesha Motzi Rishon. To know that there is, hard word to translate, an original cause. An original existence. Matsui Rishon, v'hu mamtzi kol nimsa, and he causes all others to exist. V'chol hanimsa mishamayim v'aretz u'mashi b'neihem, and everything that exists in the universe, the angels, the heavens, the earth, the worms, the insects, people, animals, every single item, chairs, tables, everything exists only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wills it to exist. And if one can fathom God not existing, chas v'shalom, then nothing else will exist. Because everything is dependent on His existence. And even if nothing else exists, He exists. Right? We say it in Adon Olam. Right? He was first. He was first. Right, and after everything, levado yimloch nara. He'll be here. He was here before, and he was here after. Ani rishon, ani acharon. We don't understand that, right? That's the mission chagiga. We shouldn't think too much about these topics to try to really understand it, because we can't. It's impossible. And if we try to, we'll think that, oh, if we don't get an answer, you know, it must be not be true. No. If a dog tries to understand physics, he could try all he wants. It's not going to happen. He could try. What do you mean? It must not be. If my dog wisdom doesn't tell me, it must not be true. No. So the Mishnah Chagiga says there's a limit. We'll talk about that, Beis Hashem, a little bit more in the next packet. But number one is the concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. There is an supreme power, and there is a koach that causes everything else to exist. Hu Shanavi Omer V'Hashem Elokim Emes. Hu levado ha-emes ve'ein la'achar emes kamidaso. Only He is emes. Only He is emes. He exists. And He exists even, let's add, even when we might not even deserve it. If anybody ever opened up the Tomar Dvorah, the Ramak, Ramosha Kar Dvorah, his sefer is based on the pasuk we say at Tashlich. Right? They talk about like why he chose the mitos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Instead of talking about Hashem, Hashem, Karacham, Achanim, he based his sefer on the Yud Gimel, the midos that Micha talks about. Mikal Kamocha, Nosi Over, and Over Apesha. So the first parak in the Sefer, the first parak in the Ramak, I think I gave you that in the next source that we're up to, the first parak in 18. The first midah is Mikal Kamocha. Who is like you, Hashem? What is that midah? He goes through each midah. We're supposed to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in each midah. But what does that midah mean? Says the Talmud Dvora, who's buried by the Shema at some point this year, I really, really hope, we'll get up to Tzfat. He's buried right next to the Arizal, right next to Rabbi Yosef Cairo. They're all right in the same area there, in the old cemetery, Beis HaKvaris in Tzfat. So says the Ramak, HaMidah Zos Moral HaYitz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melech Ne'elav. Hashem is a melech that takes a lot. That is ne'elav, that is meek, so to speak, embarrassed, but you know, takes a lot of heat and takes a lot of insults. The insulted king, maybe. Ne'elav. Sovel elbon. Mashaloi chleir rayu. You can't even fathom it. What's an example? Ein rega. Shaloye adam nizonu miskayim mikoach elyon ashofei alav. There's never a second that we don't exist because of his goodness. Hari Timsa, think about it. Me olam lochata adam negdo shelo yehu ba'oso rega mamish shofeil of shefa kiyumo trumas yivarav. There's never been a moment in, there's never been a sin done in history that at that very second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was being mechayeh that person. The biggest reshoim in the world. At the moment that they were committing their terrible acts, Titus Antiochus, think about it. At that second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was being good to them. Rachmat Lahavdil, whenever we've sinned, at that moment, Hashem is being mechayos. Imagine, you know, a child is screaming at a parent. Screaming at a parent. I once had this, we have this book at home. What's it called? Or the book. It's about raising teenagers. But it's called something like, Get Out of My Life, Can You Please Take Me to the Mall? Right, that's like the name of the book, which is like the exact, like captures, you know, that the dialect and like, I hate you. Can I please have some allowance? But at the moment that the child is screaming, is the parent going to want to do anything? Just give me a couple of minutes. Like stop screaming at me for a couple of minutes and then ask me for money. Right, just, I was once at a, before we made Aliyah, I went to London to give some shiurim. So I remember I walked into a certain Rav's house on a Motzi Shabbos. So I was talking to him, a certain Rav of a big shul there, and one of his kids walks in, and there's nothing bad, just like it happens to any of our houses. And one of his kids walk in, has some money, I'm going out some pizza, whatever, this, he gives him some money, leaves. At that time, my oldest wasn't a teenager yet, 15 years ago. So he walks out, so the Rav says to me, he says, teenagers, Savik Chaya, Savik Behema. I guess it's like a koi, right? So Chai Soi Behema. He says, they take off at 13, 14, you hope they land on their feet when they're about 20. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Melech Ne'elav. At the moment that we're going against, he's giving us. He's being Mechaya us. Vime Yosh Adam Chote, B'Koachahu, Lo Manu Menokla. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have faith. I have faith that you'll be better. But that's number one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, and everything in life exists because HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. And Avraham Avinu figured that out. That's step number one, that he exists. The source of it all. Number one. Number two, out of four. Second aspect of Emunah. Again, a mitzvah that we should be doing. We'll talk about bringing it Lamaisa in a few minutes. Number two, the Rambam continues. If you go back to that Rambam, did I give you that Rambam? I wasn't sure, so I brought. No, if you look in the further in the Rambam, I'm sorry I didn't give it to you. The next halachas, after he says that the Rambam, all this, that he exists, halacha hey in Yisodiyat Torah. The Rambam says, I'll read it to you. Hamatzu yazeh hu eloka ha'olam adon kol haaretz v'hu hamanhig hagalgal b'koach she'in lo keis v'tachlis. Not only does he exist and causes everything to exist, he controls. He's in charge. Meaning he wasn't only Boreid, but he is Mechadish B'chol Yom. Not only Mechadish B'chol Yom Tavid, Mashgiach. B'koach she'en lo hefzik. Sh'agagol sovev tamid v'yefshar sh'yesov b'lo mesavev. Hashem is constantly pressing the button of continuous existence and control of that existence. That's a well-known Ramban. So some of you are getting the new Rambans. I think it's the same Ramban, just a different print, right? There are no new footnotes, I don't think. That's like my usual nafkamina. If a sefer has new footnotes, then I usually have to like buy it. But if it's the same print, then the old print is okay. But like when they came out with the new Ksos, I mean, how could you not? Right, came out with the new Minchas Chinuch. When I was in Shana Aleph, I think that's when the black Minchas Chinuch came out. So like the old one, he was very poor, the Minchas Chinuch. So you read the old Minchas Chinuch, this unbelievable Rashi Tevis, like 13 letters. You have no idea what he's talking about. He used to write on paper bags and the wall. He had no paper. So he wrote these long Rashi Tevis. I once had a chavrusa that even after the new Minchas Chinuch came, he's like, I like to use the old one, try to figure out the Rashi Tevis. I'm not such a tzaddik. You know, just give me the new Minchas Chinuch. But again, the new Ramban. So there's one of the well-known pieces in the Ramban is at the end of Parshas Bo, where the Ramban discusses, where did I give it to you? I thought I gave it to you. Actually, we'll get to the Ramban. I gave it to you through, but we'll talk about the Ramban. The Ramban in the end of Parshas Bo, and we'll say it outside, and then we'll get to 19. The Ramban in the Parshas Bo discusses, why are there so many mitzvos that are Zecher Lisiyas Mitzrayim? Why are there so many mitzvos, asked the Ramban? We might have mentioned this in Shiur before. Right, no other event in history is even close. Maimon Har Sinai may be one mitzvah. Right, the Man may be one mitzvah. The Rabbanan, Sis Mitzrayim, about 15 mitzvahs. Fill in a mezuzah, and all the Pesach mitzvahs, and Pidyon HaBen, and Petar Chamor. So many. Why are there so many? So the Ramban discusses. The Ramban discusses that there are many types of heretics in the world. Type one is ones that reject everything. There was no creator. There was never a creator. The Ramban says most people don't believe in that. It's kind of impossible. You know, how did the world come to be? We'll talk about that, Baruch Hashem, in the next packet. So there was a creator, but he's a busy creator, and he went to take care of other worlds now, to create other worlds. Meaning he created, but he's not Mashgiach. And then there are other heretics that believe in the Borei and they believe in the Mashgiach, but don't believe in the being able to do anything he wanted to do. Right, he can't get involved whenever he wants. Right, that he can do anything. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Ramban, in one fell swoop, in one second, undermine all of those heretical views to perform a miracle? Because a nes means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates, is still involved, and is still in control. I'm saying it very in short, but feel free, the Ramban, it's the Ramban. There was never a greater, more miraculous time period in history, and specifically in the history of Am Yisrael, than in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hashem wants us to remember that always. Because Hashem doesn't perform miracles forever. At least open miracles. As the Ramban's lashon is, every day we see miracles. It's called nature. Nisim Nistarim. We're just used to it. To give the mashal of Reb Dessler, you know, imagine you're looking out your kitchen window and you know, all of a sudden you see the ground shaking and all of a sudden you see a finger pop out of the ground. And then you see a hand pop out of the ground. You start shaking like, what's going on? I see an arm. You mamash witness Tchias HaMesim. You're like, quickly, take a selfie, right? It didn't happen unless you took a picture of it, right? And you I'm unbelievable. Let's say you're looking out your kitchen window and all of a sudden you see a leaf pop through the ground, and you see a branch behind that leaf, and you see a bigger branch, and then you see a trunk, and oh, you see a tree come out of the ground. Oh, that's nice. Not so exciting. What's the difference? A tree coming out of the ground is normal. A person coming out of the ground is not normal. Why? I put a seed in the ground, the tree comes out. Why is that normal? The answer is, says the Ramban, there's no difference. Rav Dessler Ramban. It's just what we're used to. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's performing miracles. We're supposed to focus on Yetzias Mitzrayim to remember Hashgacha. But that's part two of Emunah. Number one, that Hashem exists and He is Mamsi Kol Nimsa. Number two, He's Mashgiach. He's involved. He's involved in the world. Hashgacha. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch says. Now in 17. Laham in Sheish Lo'olam Eloka Echad Shimsi Kol Nimsa Umikocha V'chefso Hayakom Ashehu. And that's why it says in the Rishonim already are bothered. Why doesn't it say Asher Barasi Shemayim V'aretz? Why does it say as I took you out of Mitzrayim? Not I created the world. One of the reasons is because he wants to show part of Emunah is Hashgacha. Hashgacha. Kodesh Baruch Hu not only exists, but he is involved in Mashgiach. Rav Pinkus writes in his Siddur on the Bracha of Rafa'enu, and all of Rav Pinkus' Sfarim are great. He always is a master mashal giver, but his Sharim B'Tfilah and is not about commentary on Tfilah. It's just about 10 types of Tfilah, and his commentary on Siddur is the red one. And there on the Bracha Rafa'enu, he talks about how well we daven, and we're probably hopefully having extra kavana these days. In the Bracha of Rafa'enu, heal anybody we know, heal the world. And sometimes, myself included, we kind of like think about like how is this ever gonna end, and how is this ever gonna, you know, even if they get a vaccine, and even if they start giving it, and they have to test it, and thousands of people aren't gonna want to take it anyway. You know, it depends if the Republicans did it or the Democrats give it. You know, the other half aren't going to want to take the vaccine. And then this, and then that. So it's like, how is it going to work? Says Rav Pinkus, that's not what we're asking for in Rafa'enu. Like, we're going to have to understand how it works. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do we say every morning? Borei Refuos. We say in Berachas Kriya Shema. Borei is Yesh Me'ayin. Yotzer is Yesh Me'yesh. Borei means HaKadosh Baruch Hu could create something from nothing, like, without any explanation beforehand. Borei Refuos. And he gives a mashal. He says, yeah, there are rules of nature and there are rules of medicine. But he gives a mashal towards the bottom of 19. He says, you have a king who sent a proclamation to a city with rules and regulations how everything has to work. And everybody has to follow all the rules and the regulations, and they follow it. And then there's a certain case where it doesn't really make sense to do like what the king said. So what do you do? You shouldn't follow what the king said? Wouldn't that like kind of undermine all the rules? Because like now I'm picking and choosing. So it's better, you know, I'll do this even though I don't understand it. What happens if the king himself comes and says, yeah, you could change that. You could do it differently. Then obviously you can. If the king gets involved personally, then he can change the rules. That's okay. That's what we're asking for. Rafa'enu Hashem b'nei Rafa'. Rafa'enu Hashem, we use Yudkei Vavkei, Ha Yehovah V'yeh. He's the one that's Mahave. He's the one that could create anything. Rafa'enu Hashem b'nei Rafa'. Yes, make the doctors the shlichim. But the doctor always has to recognize he's the shliach. My father always likes to quote, is the last Mishnah in Kiddushin has the line, Tov Shevarofim LeGehenim. The best doctors are going to Gehenim. Right, so what does that mean? So 25 different pshatim. You know what Tov Shevarofim LeGehenim is. But one of them was given by one of the Hasidic Rebbes who says, Tov is Gematria 17. The doctor that only says 17 brachas when he davids. Because Rafa'enu I don't need. I got that one covered. That one's good for me. No, it used to be 18 brachas before. But says the doctor that says 17, the doctor is a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rafa'enu Hashem, he's the mashgiach, he's the one that can change anything, and he's the one that's involved. So emuna means existence, emuna means mashgiach, involvement that can do whatever he wants. Number three, what does the chinuch continue saying? The chinuch continues, Asher Tzitzichem Eretz Mitzrayim, didn't just happen, but I took you out with Hashgacha. I didn't give you the continuation of the Chinuch and the Rambam, but part three of Emuna, the Rishonim quote is our responsibility. Maimon Har Sinai is part of Emuna. Meaning life is not just about privileges. It's about responsibilities. To believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only created the world, but he has a purpose for the world. If number one, what do we say so far? Existence, providence, let's call it. Responsibility is number three. That we have a job, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects something of us. That's also part of Emuna. Every time we do a mitzvah, that's a reflection of Emuna. Every time we live as an Orthodox Jew, that's part of Emunah, because we're recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave instructions to the worlds. Kadosh Baruch Hu expects something of us. Right, there's a topic of a shiur. Hopefully, we'll have later on in the within the next couple of weeks. But actually, somebody just emailed me the question a week or two ago. No, is that why did God get so angry at Cain? Did he ever tell him not to kill? All right, okay, good question. But the Rishonim deal with it. But you know, is there an automatic? Well, if I'm here, it must be that God wants something from me, and there are rules that I have to play by. And it's just not just that I'm here, so I'm God's gift to the world, and therefore I could do whatever. No, life is a gift, and maybe each person is a gift to everyone else, but they shouldn't look at themselves as a gift. You know, everybody else could look at them as a gift, but they should look at themselves as responsible. But that's part three of Emunah, responsibility. And finally, part four, existence, providence, responsibility, destiny. To realize that this world is marching towards a goal. And the Smak, one of the Baalei HaTosfos, includes this explicitly in his mitzvahs of Emunah. The first mitzvah, Smak and Mitzvah Aleph. Leida, I've used the Smak in other contexts, where the Smak asks, let me just say it as a question. It's also just like a cool 3-minute Dvar Torah if you ever have to speak. It's about Emunah, so you can use it any day, any Shabbos of the year, any context. The Smak asks, we know that there are 6 questions that were going to be asked, Lasilavo, Shabbos, Lamed Aleph, right? Koveit, Chavati, Itim, LaTorah, we did set aside time for Torah, Asakta, Bepiri, Verivya, Asakta, Vatata, Bemuna, were you honest in business, did you set up a family? So all those three we know where the source for that is in the Torah. Puravu, it's a mitzvah. Talmud Torah, it's a mitzvah. Asakta, Vatata, Bemuna, were you honest? Yeah, you're not allowed to lie. What's the fourth one? See, Pisil Yeshua. Did you hope for Mashiach? Where does it say in the Torah that I have to hope for Mashiach? What if I don't? Which mitzvah am I not doing? What if I live in a community somewhere outside the land of Israel? I do all the mitzvos, and I think that this is it, and I'm not looking. I'm very happy with reality. I mean, how could anybody be happy? There's war, there's sickness, there's this. Okay, but let's say somebody's not hoping for Mashiach. What if somebody is nervous? I don't want to rock the boat. What's it going to be like? We could talk about that another year, but let's say, what are they violating? Says the Smak, you know what they're violating? Emunah. Wow, Emunah. Says the Smak. So that's what he says, to know. The one who created the world is in charge of the world, as we just mentioned before. Going against the philosophers who say the world goes, oh, it was a strong tide that day. Not like the Mitzrayim felt. No, everything is hashkacha. But then he says on line 7, ubezet tole mashamru chachamim, sho'alim lal damachar misa. Tzipisili Yeshua. Hey, chaksib mitzvazu. Where does it say tzipisili Yeshua? Elashmamina bezet talui. Kishem. Just like we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim and redeemed us once, we believe that Hashem is going to redeem us again. And the world that we see here is not a finished product. And there's an end, and there's a destiny for the Jewish people and for the world. And that's part of Emunah. To recognize that we're a chain, a link in the chain of history becoming destiny. And that's also part of Emunah. So Emunah includes 4 parts, at least, but 4 parts that we mentioned. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's providence, hashgacha, involvement, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's demanding of us responsibility, that we have a job to do, and finally destiny. So how do we make a lemaisa into our lives? This is one of the 6 mitzvahs tamidios. One of the 6 constant mitzvahs. So how do we do it? So, also here, for some reason it worked out, four strategies. 4 strategies. I guess we're not going to get to the second packet tonight. Maybe we'll continue that next week. Number 1, learning. To have some time set aside to study Emunah. Not the Iker part of our day, quantitatively, but at some point during the day, during the week, that we study Sifrei Emunah, study Sarm about Hashkachas Hashem, Right, the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne is a whole set of Svarim. So in the first one, he says, so often there are many Jews out there that focus on mitzvos but never really think about the mitzvah. Which is great to do mitzvos. But once in a while, it's good to think about Hashem and to learn about it. There are many Svarim out there. And Emunah can be in the broadest terms. Emunah, Hashkafa, Machshava, however one wants to take it. There are many different avenues and different Emunah type of Svarim that talk to different people. But number one, we have to think, set aside time. Just like, you know, you want to become better at, we want to become better at davening, so we have to learn about, one of the strategies is to learn about davening. And to study davening, not during Chazaras HaShatz. Right? And study at a time when, you know, when it's meaningful. So number one, Emunah, set aside time for learning. Number one. Number two, living Emunah. The Rama writes, right, the first line in Shulchan Aruch, Shivisi Hashem L'negdi Samin. The Rama quotes the Mor Nevuchim. I don't know how often the Rama quotes the Mor Nevuchim in his commentary, but he does right here. The first Rama, Shivisi Hashem L'negdi Samin U'klal Gadol B'Torah, to try to see Hashem in my life, to live with a God-centric existence. Living, not just learning about it, but living it, trying to see. The first Shulchan Aruch, the first Ramah, who called Gadol Batar, I'm in 21. Ubamalas HaTzadikim HaShaochan L'fnei Elokim, Ki'eni Shivas Adav V'tinuosa V'asakav U'levadav V'beiso. People don't act the same when we're alone and when we realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there with us. Many years ago, I heard Rabbi Ephraim Waxman give a shiur. He said, imagine if the Chafetz Chaim was your roommate. How would you wake up in the morning? Imagine you wake up. Like you see him over there, you know, like, you know, doing Negovasser, Kavana, Moda'ani, like it's Yom Kippur. And
I'm there. Yeah.
The Chafetz Chaim is there. We're going to get out of bed. We're going to make it to shul on time. And that's only the Chafetz Chaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melech Malchi Amlachim. We have to try to do our best to live a life like that. If you look, there's a beautiful art scroll, the six mitzvos tmidios, the six constant mitzvos. You're going to get any art scroll safer on Machshava Emunah. It's a great safer. They have the paperback, the small ones, the pocket size, the big ones, whichever one you want, the travel edition. But there, part of it in source 22, he says, once we realize that the purpose of the world is to attain perfection and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in it, we have to take it as a challenge. I once was at a family, I ate at a meal for Shabbos. You know, different families ask different questions at the meal. Highlight, low light, you know, like, tell me, where do you see Hashem this week in your life? That was the father's question. Amazing. Because then you're going to focus on it because you're going to have something to say at the Shabbos table. Right, where do you see Hashem? Where do we see Hashem? And he quotes from, you know, Megillas Esther. What's the purpose of Megillas Esther? The last line of Megillas Esther, what does it say? If you want to know the rest of Mordechai and Esther and Achashverosh's story, go look in the history books. That's the last pasuk in Megillas Esther. So he quotes from Yecheskel Abramsky. What's the purpose of that pasuk? No, I want to know what happened. It doesn't say they didn't live happily ever after. Right? Esther was still married to Achashverosh. That's not so pleasant. So, but what happens? So Yecheskel Abramsky says, because Megillas Esther is not a history book. It's to give you messages about seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's behind the scenes. Megala the Hester. More than any other sefer, right? The only book in Tanakh that does not have Shem Hashem. That's what Megillas Esther is about. That's life. Right? Purim was the last book, Megillah, that made it into Tanakh. The latest one. Right? The latest one. Hanukkah didn't make it into Tanakh. Right? That was left out. Sefer HaMakabim. But Purim made it in. Because we need that message for these thousands of years. Right? Think about the grand events in your own life. He says, the person you married, the person you didn't marry, the job you accepted, the one that you really wanted to but didn't get, the teachers who influenced you. Right? So many things we can think about at different stages of life and say, Kadosh Baruch Hu is behind the scenes. So number one, Lamaisa, having set aside times for learning some type of Sefer that directly talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's connection to me and the world. Number two, trying to live a life like that. Live a life. Number three out of four. Number three, sacrificing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we want to connect and have more of a feeling towards, just like in any relationship. The more you give and sacrifice for the other, the closer you feel. If a spouse sacrifices for another one and shapes their life for the other one, so then that brings them closer. The more we shape our lives in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to, that itself is a reflection of Emuna, and it brings us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. In the Menachem Tzion, Menachem Tzion is Rav Pesach Frank's son-in-law, but he quotes there the thought I think I might have mentioned last week. He quotes a Medrash in source 20, line 26, 27. Kavati itim laTorah. He doesn't quote this exactly, but it's this idea. We have to set our lives to the Torah, not the opposite. Not set the Torah to our lives. And that has to do with so many questions that we deal with. It has to do with how many years to spend in Israel. It has to do with which university I'm going to go to after Israel. It has to do with, you know, what kind of community I'm going to live in. It has to do with anything. There's so many things. But the more we focus on these decisions with an eye on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that itself is, a reflection of Emuna, because it shows that we're acting based on that, and it brings us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we're living a life like that. Living a life, again, sacrificing. I try to tell, you know, in other contexts, little sacrifices. Shulchan Aruch says we're not supposed to be involved in other, our own tzrachim before davening in the morning. Not supposed to go here and go there, even going to say hello to your friend. So translate that to Tavshin Pei Aleph. No looking at emails before davening. Or WhatsApps. Right. That's tough for some, if one is used to doing that. Keep it up. Aim. They want. Okay. Only your parents WhatsApp. But little things like that. Right. Focusing and sacrificing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number three. So learning, living, sacrificing, and one more. Talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Constantly talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just in davening. I have not seen too many movies over the past 25 years. But one I saw, I was already married, so it's within the past 25 years. Probably about 22 years ago, I don't know, Ushpizen. Remember that movie? I don't know if that counts as a movie. But one thing I remember, I don't remember it so clearly, it was a long time ago, but the other thing I remember is that they were the people in the movie were always talking to Hashem, like not just during davening. And I remember feeling like it was so inspiring. Just like, they're just talking to Hashem. Like, they're just walking. She was talking to Hashem in the kitchen. And that's a fourth way to breed Emunah. To constantly be talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You say the Chafetz Chaim was always talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's crucial. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for it. There is a fascinating discussion, again, that's a topic of a separate shiur, about the Ramban. The Ramban does not count tefillah as a mitzvah. Mr. Rabbanan, the Rambam counts tefillah as a mitzvah. And the Ramban does not. Why is that? Why doesn't the Ramban count it as a mitzvah? Okay, Isara. But why not? So I once heard Rav Asher Weiss compare it. He said, the Rambam's Yishev Eretz Yisrael is the Ramban's tefillah. Of course, they're... they're ikar, they're basic, they're yesodistic, they're definitional. You can't be a Jew without it. Well, you can be a Jew without davening? No, for minyan mitzvahs-wise, it's not counted, for whatever reason. It's not formulated as a tzivui, it's included in another mitzvah, whatever you want. Every parsha in the Torah talks about the centrality of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. Tefillah is the most basic thing a Jew does. If there's one sefer in a Jew's house, you know what it is? It's a sitter. If there's a Jew that only has one sefer in the house, it's going to be a sitter. Because that defines who we are, but that's... we have to use it. But it's not just davening time. The Rambam says, the Chazal instituted brachas, so we can talk to God all day. Lining, talk to Hashem. Bathroom, talk to Hashem. Eating, talk to Hashem. Rainbow, talk to Hashem. Niagara Falls, talk to Hashem. You know, whatever you... everything you do in life, talk to Hashem. But it doesn't mean it should stop there. So again, that's what we should do. Again, it doesn't have to be in the middle of the Beis Medrash or when people are looking at us and they, you know, it should be Matames Abrios. And it doesn't have to be even, you know, verbal. It can be. But, you know, just to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu outside of Tefillah. Of course, during Tefillah. But outside of Tefillah, because that's a tenet. There's a beautiful piece. I didn't give it to you. I'll probably put it in a different shir. Probably was in Ish HaEmunah, Rav Soloveitchik in Ish HaEmunah. He writes there, when did Tefillah, it's not in your sheets, but when was it enacted? During the Hashanah Sagdola. That's when they formulated Tefillah. Why? So the Rambam says, because everybody was going to different lands and different languages, and we couldn't talk properly, so it was formulated like that. Rav Soloveitchik said says deeper. Soloveitchik said, they knew that Nevuah was ending. There was not going to be any more prophets. They knew. They knew it was it. The Anshei Knesset HaGedola did not want to accept the tragic reality that there would be no more conversation between Hashem and mankind until there are more Nevi'im in thousands of years from now. So they created and institutionalized Tefillah. Tefillah is a hemshich of Nevuah. Nevuah is a conversation. Tefillah is a conversation. The only difference is who's talking. In a conversation, you always have two sides. Nevuah, Hashem is talking to us. Tefillah, we're talking to Hashem. But it's two sides of the same coin. And I'll just add. And when one of the animamins is Nevuah, it's not just about Nevuah. It's animam emunah shleima that there's communication between man and God. And that's what we have. We don't have Nevuah today, but we have Tefillah. The same conversations take place. And that's why it's formalized, because we should realize that we have this power to always have an audience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's the fourth strategy. Recognizing that we could always talk to Hashem. From the beginning of the day, Moda'ani, to the end of the day, Hamapil. And all the times in between. Let's recognize. Learning, setting aside time for studying that area of our life, that first mitzvah. Living it, trying to see Hashem more in our lives, sacrificing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shaping our lives in that way, and finally, four, talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as much as we can. If we could do this, then hopefully, again, it's a mitzvah to me, one of the mitzvahs tmidios, one of the constant mitzvahs, but at least sometime we should deepen it, and again, b'schus are trying, will be zocha to be b'nei Avram Avinu. It's, I have in my parashah here, which will be tomorrow night, just Rabbi Jonathan Sachs. Has a line where he says, Avraham Avinu was the most influential person in the history of the world. Why do you say that? I forgot his number, he quoted. Like, whatever billion people today call him their spiritual leader. Right? Christians come from Muslims and Jews. They're all Avraham Avinu. Abraham Accords. Right? Kachava. None of the Yoma. But we all come from Avraham Avinu. Or any believer wants to latch on to Avram's coattails. He was the most influential. So we want to be connected to him. We know we have a special kibi. Yitzhak, Yikar, Lechazara. Avram, Yaakov, obviously. But let's try to be like Avraham. Avraham Oavai. Avraham, the believer. Be'ez Hashem. We should work on the Emunah to strengthen it. Be'ez Hashem, next week we'll have a different aspect of Emunah. One more on that. We'll cover Avraham Avinu, and then we'll move on to other issues. Okay, we'll stop. I guess if you want to give me back the sheets that we didn't get to, I'll bring it next week. If you want to give those back to me. Thank you.